Deuteronomy chapter 2, in verse number 7. The Bible says, man, just the song service today kind of summed up this verse right here. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through the great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. I'll let you be seated. You know, as we turn our attention this month to Thanksgiving, it's important to realize that Thanksgiving is not just a Thursday holiday. It's not just a time of the year. People say, well, it's Thanksgiving time. Well, Thanksgiving is a day. Thanksgiving is a holiday. But can I tell you, Thanksgiving is really an action word. If you came in today, you probably saw it on the sign. Thanksgiving is an action. You cannot have Thanksgiving unless there is giving of thanks. You may get together with your family and friends on the Thursday that's labeled Thanksgiving, and you may say, oh, we had Thanksgiving over at Mama's. We had Thanksgiving over at Grandma's. But can I tell you, unless somebody slows the gravy train down and says, hey, let's stop just a minute and give thanks for what God has done for us, then you've not had Thanksgiving. All you did was have a meal and you ate too much. But Thanksgiving is where we really slow down and we give thanks unto God for what He has done. And here in our text, Moses is telling his story of how the children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years. He told of the good times. He told of the bad times. He told of the journey and the tears. But here in this verse, he tells how good God has been. Just how good God has been. Perhaps today, many in this room could give a similar story. If I was to say, hey, stand up and tell us your story. Tell us what brought you to this point. Tell us what brought you to this point in November. How you got to West End Baptist Church, or how you got to Social Circle, or how you got to where you are in your life. Many would be able to say the same thing. Oh, I've had some ups and downs. I had some rough roads. We had a divorce way back then. Or mom and daddy had this situation. I come from an abusive home, or whatever the situation might be. But you might be able to wind it all in and say, oh, but God, God's been good to me. God's been so good to me in my life. And that's what Moses said. Moses said, God has been so good to me. God's been with me, and I have lacked nothing. Today, I want us to look at the thought of we have so much to praise God for. Moses revealed here in this verse, I want to give you 4 points this morning. Just quickly, Moses revealed that God has been good in His providence. God was good to Moses and the children of Israel in His providence. Notice verse 7, the A part, it says, for the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. God's been good. God has blessed us in what we've done. It's important to realize that we're only successful. We're only blessed. We're only good at what we do, where we work, who we're around. We're only good at those things. We're only able to do those things because God has given us the ability to do so. Regardless if you work with your brain or you work with your brawn, can I just say it's by God's hand that you have what you have. It's by God's hand that you know what you know. It's by God's hand that you go and do what you go and do. And we have blessings today because of what God has blessed us with. God's providence in our life brought us to where we are today. What you might think was just a chance or a circumstance was God's providence in your life. You think back when you started your job. When you started your job, there might be people in here that you just really at random went and put in an application. But there's probably most of us in here, you knew somebody. You had a friend of a friend that got you an interview, or you knew somebody that worked down there. And you say, well, it was just a chance that I knew a friend. No, it was God's providence that brought you to that point. You say, it was just God's providence that got me in the church the night that I got saved. Oh, no, it was by the hand of God. It was not an accident that you were found in that church tonight. Somebody offered you a job. Somebody trained you. Somebody taught you. Somebody pushed you maybe to go do something else. And we'd have to say that's God's providence in our life. His providence introduced you to your spouse. Sometimes we say, oh, it was just by chance that me and my honey, we met each other when we fell in love. No, it was God's providence. God orchestrated the whole thing. God put it all in motion. God had you at just the right place at just the right time because His providence was at work in your life. His providence let you pass by the house you now live in.
How many of you that happened to you? We just saw the house. We just went by and there was a for sale sign out there. Or we just so happened to get in touch with this real estate lady, and oh, she was so nice. Got us the perfect house. Just by accident, just a circumstance. No, it was God's providence in your life. Listen, God has been good to us, and we can praise Him for His providence. Quote says, when we bless God for mercies, we prolong them. When we bless God for miseries, we usually end them. Praise is the honey of life, which a devout heart extracts from every bloom of providence and grace. Let me tell you, we have a lot to praise God for. Good times, bad times, rough times, hard times, times that you don't even want to go back to. And realize that God was working all things for good, even during those times. So we see that we can praise God for His providence. Then I want you to see this morning, we can praise God for His perception. Notice what Moses saw in verse number 7, the B part, the second line. It says, He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. Now think about the story. You have the children of Israel. This is not the book of Exodus. If you want to read the actual account of the children of Israel leaving Egypt, go to the book of Exodus and read it word for word. But Moses is kind of recapping here. Moses is kind of looking back and thinking of what God had done. But you think about their story. These children of Israel, they had been there 400 years in bondage. So for the last ones who lived there, the ones who actually escaped, this is all they ever knew. They didn't know anything except Egyptian bondage. But they were in bondage. But think about this. Every day they had a job to go to. Every day they had a house to go to. Every day they had meals that they could eat. And they were completely taken care of by the Pharaoh and by the Egyptian government. And this is all they ever knew. And then finally, Moses went and he said, let my people go. And they finally let them go. Pharaoh and his army chased them. They were drowned in the water. You know the story. And now they get to the other side of the Red Sea. And finally, we're free at last. We're free at last. We're no longer in bondage. And I think they got to looking around and going, but we ain't got nothing. We don't have nothing. We don't have anything but what we brought with us. A few animals and our family. And we don't have a house. We don't have a job. We don't have a garden. What are we going to eat? What are we going to do? And Moses said that God said, or the Bible says here, He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. 40 years they walked and wandered in a wilderness trying to get to a promised land. They must have scratched their head at times and said, what in the world did we do? What in the world did we do? We left what we had, and now we don't have anything. But when they left sinful Egypt and were able to get out on a search for a promised land, God proved Himself in great and mighty ways. Can I just tell you, you may be scratching your head about where you're at in life. You may be saying, man, God, do you even see me down here? God, I'm down here in this never-ending search for the promised land. I'm always seeking for greener pastures. I'm always seeking for the next big thing. I'm always looking for something. And I feel like sometimes, God, you've just forgotten about me. Let me just say, God has never forgotten about you. We can praise God today because there's never been a mile. There's never been a step. There's never been a month. There's never been a year. There's never been a wrong turn. There's never been an up or a down that God did not see you. We can praise Him for His perception. God has seen you in the good times. God has seen you in the bad times. God sees you. He's never taken His eye off you. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He knows. He knows when we walk through the wilderness. There may be times in your life you have walked through some wilderness places. I mean some low places. Maybe a divorce, maybe a death, maybe a real shock in your life. I don't know what it is, but you would call it your wilderness. If you had to look back on all of your life, you would say, that was my wilderness. Can I tell you, God saw you. God saw you. God sees you. God saw you walking through the wilderness. Praise changes things. We ought to praise Him for His looking into our life, for His perception in our life. Praise changes things. Praise changes you. Try it. A song of praise in the prison of gloom or depression can open its doors. Remember this verse, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. Even in a wilderness, even in a hard time, even in a hardship, even at death's door, Paul and Silas sang praises and it changed the course of their life and the life of others. So we see the providence of God. There's nothing without Him. Then we see the perception of God. There's nothing that goes unnoticed. Don't you ever think God hasn't noticed you? And then we see the patience of God. We can praise God this morning for His patience with us. Look at verse 7 again, the C part of the third line. It says, these 40 years. These 40 years. These 40 years. To the children of Israel, it must have seemed like a lifetime. It truly was one generation. It truly was some who had died, some who had been born. Their whole life had changed. Their whole life had just gotten away from them. 40 years they find themselves just wandering in the wilderness. 40 years over and over and over, the same old places, the same old things, never gaining any ground. Moses, you said if we would leave Egypt, everything would be better. And these children of Israel made some poor choices. They were disobedient. They were ungrateful at times. They were rebellious in their heart. Yet God continued His hand of blessings and guidance in their life. Think about this. They had rebelled against God. They had grumbled about the manna. They had grumbled about the quail. They had grumbled about the journey. They had grumbled about the whole time. And God just continued to bless them. God just continued to work on them. God just continued to help them along. And God wanted to see them grow in their faith. And it took 40 years, these 40 years. You don't have anything to praise God about this month. Let me suggest praising God for His patience in your life. For His patience in your life. Somebody said, I think Brother Brant maybe said second chances. I've heard other people say that. Thank God for second chances. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His mercy. Can I tell you, all those things are related to God's patience in our life. The Bible, in many places, calls it being long-suffering. God's long-suffering to usward. Man, I'm thankful God's long-suffering. How many of you did stupid stuff when you were a teenager? All God's people said. You know, we all did dumb stuff. The Bible says in one place, it's by His mercies that we're not consumed. Some of y'all whispering and telling people what you did. Hey, listen, this is a true story. And I don't have time to tell the story, but 31 years ago, I wrecked my mama's car and went through a man's fence. And this past week, I was talking to a man. He said, well, I grew up in Hampton. I said, well, I grew up in Hampton. He said, well, we used to own Newmorn Foods in Hampton. I said, well, funny thing, I run through a man's fence on Newmorn Road. He said, that was my fence. And 31 years later, I got to tell him I was sorry. And but you know what? You know what he told me? He said, it's a wonder you didn't get killed. And I said, you're absolutely right. He said, man, you could have flipped that car. He said, I don't know what you were thinking. I said, I don't know what I was thinking. He said, one of those fence posts could have come through that window and killed you. And you get to thinking about that when you're by yourself and you say, oh man, God's been good to me. And God's been patient with me. God's been long-suffering to me. And God had other plans. God knew exactly what He was doing. But His patience for us. I'm so thankful that God is patient with me these 40 years. These 40 years. He uses that term, these 40 years. What if God really gave us what we deserve? Think about that. What if God gave you what you deserve for all the times you said, I don't want nothing to do with church. Church is for mom and daddy. It ain't for me. What if God really gave us what we deserved? What if God really gave us what we deserve? Oh, but He's been so patient with us. He's patient with our sinfulness. God's a God of truth and justice and righteousness. But He's been patient regarding our sin. God's been patient with our country. You know, God's been patient with men in this room. God's been patient with women in this room because of our sinfulness, stuff that we just wouldn't get right, stuff that we just would not surrender to Him. And God's been so patient. He's been patient in our mediocre service. There's been times we've served God wholeheartedly. And there's been a lot of times we've served God ho-hum. Times that we didn't give it our best. We didn't really care. It's kind of gotten old to us. But He's been patient with our service. He's been patient in our broken promises. How many times have we said, God, You get me out of this, I'll serve You. God, You heal mama, I'll be there every time the door's open. God, You touch daddy and I'll really serve You. We ain't kept our promises to God. There's been a lot of fake promises that we made to God. But God's been patient through all that. God could have snapped our neck and said, you're out of here. He's been patient with our rebellion. Times that we've sat in services and God preached our heart and said, go to the altar and get that right with Me. Go to the altar and get that right with Me. And we sat in our seat and said, tomorrow, God. Tomorrow I'll do it. Tomorrow, next Sunday. If He'll preach something like that next Sunday, I'll go. And we sit in our seat of rebellion. But through it all, God just being God, He's been patient with us. He's been patient in our coming to Him. Let me tell you, God dealt with my heart about 3 weeks before I came to know Christ. And God could have gave me one shot and said, this is it, big boy. But instead, God gave me chance after chance after chance until I finally... And it wasn't that I was running from God. It was just I was unclear. I wanted to be sure and wanted to know. And God just kept pulling. God just kept pulling me and drawing me closer to Him. The Bible says, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. I'm so glad for God's patience. How long has God been patient with you? Concerning one of those things I mentioned, your sinfulness, mediocre service, rebellion. How long has God been patient with you about it? What's it going to take for you to finally do business with God? Moses said these 40 years. These 40 years. See, Moses knew a little more about it than it just walking around in circles. Moses wasn't going to the promised land because he had sin in his life. And he said, these 40 years, God's worked on me. God's been patient with me. How long has God been patient with you? 20 years? 30 years? 40 years? 50 years? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars. And you know the rest of the song, but He's still working on me. I'm so glad for God's patience in our lives. So we see His providence. We see His perception. We see His patience. And we can praise Him today finally for His presence with us. Look at the D part of the verse this morning and we'll be done. He says, these 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee, and thou hast lacked nothing. God has been with thee. That God has been with thee. God has been with thee. You know, the children of Israel, they experienced God in a different way than we do today. Think about it. The children of Israel, they didn't experience God like we do, and we're kind of in a different place. We didn't necessarily get to experience God like they do. It was a different time, different age, really. And so the children of Israel, they experienced God in a different way, and He was represented in their life a lot of times, but never seen or never touched. He was heard at times, but not seen. At that time, God would literally speak to men and give them what He would have them to tell the people. God would speak audibly to men back in those days. You have to understand, at this time, they didn't have the Word of God like we do. You say, why don't God speak nowadays? And it brings doubt to our mind. If God doesn't do it today, how do we know that God did it then? And the reason is because today, we have the complete Word of God. We have what God wants us to know. We have everything that God wants to tell us, and there's really no reason for Him to speak or give us anything more if we're not going to be obedient to what He's already given us. And so God speaks to us in a different way, but he was heard at times but not seen. He was seen in types and pictures. Go to the Old Testament and you'll see that God was represented in types and pictures, like the Ark of the Covenant. They felt like the presence of God. It's a type and picture of the presence of God. Where the Ark went is where the presence of God was, and the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies. And he led them personally by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And this cloud would start moving. They'd set up camp. They'd camp there for a week or so, and all of a sudden the cloud would start moving. They'd say, "Let's go, the cloud's moving." And wherever it would rest, they would stop and set up camp again. And it would lead them at night like a pillar, like a cloud of fire. And they'd say, "The cloud's moving, let's go." And that's the way God led them, and they were guided by God that way. They were fed like birds every day. God would drop manna and quail from the sky. No reason to hoard, no reason to take more than you need, because God will feed us again tomorrow. And that's what God did in the Old Testament time. And here Moses said, "God's been with me these 40 years, and I've lacked nothing." And here Moses is writing and rejoicing because God has always been with them, but yet God was really not with them. You understand what I'm saying? God was with Moses, and God was speaking to Moses, and God would take Moses on a mountain and speak to Moses, and God was with them, but he was in a cloud. God was with them, but he was in a fire. God was with them, but he was in a tabernacle. God was with them, but he was in the Ark of the Covenant. God was with them, but not really with them. But yet Moses said, "Woo, man, 40 years, God's been with me, and I've lacked nothing." And then we think about where we are after the death of Christ, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ. Now, today, we not only get the outward manifestations of Christ and God, but now we get the inward presence of God in our life. We not only get the outward manifestations, we not only get Him in types and pictures, we not only get His provision in our lives, we not only get His Word, but we can rejoice today because the very Holy Spirit of God now lives inside of me. Moses never got that. Moses had to see God on the outside, but never got to feel Him on the inside. Today, I don't get to see God as much on the outside as Moses did. Oh, but listen, He's on the inside. Everywhere I go, He's with me. Everything I do, He's with me. And that wasn't possible until the cross. We ought to be thankful today that we live on the backside of the cross of Calvary. And if Moses could rejoice because what he felt of God on the outside, today we can rejoice because of what we know and feel of God on the inside of our heart. There's been times in my life when I didn't feel like reading my Bible. There's been times in my life when I didn't feel like praying. There's been times in my life when I didn't feel like I had a friend in the world. But there'd be a little tug happen in my heart, and I'd say, "Whew, I got one friend. I may not have a friend in the world, but I've got one. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives in my heart. He lives in my heart. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. And He lives inside my heart." I can say it even more so than Moses. "The Lord my God has been with me and for me. But I'm glad He's been in me." He's in me. Listen, if you're saved today, the Holy Spirit of God now resides in your heart. Okay? It's not just coming in and letting us pour church on you. No, it's bigger than that. He lives inside of you and wants to come out of you. Wants to be in everything you do. He wants to guide your tongue. He wants to block your ears. He wants to move your feet in the right direction. He wants to control your hands. He wants to do all those things. Man, what a privilege it is today to know the presence of God in our life. If Moses could say, "God's been with me," surely today in 2021 we can say, "God's been with us." Man, God's been with us. If we made it through the last 2 years like we have, we could say, "God's been with us." God has been with us. I want to encourage you to do something today. I don't normally ask for a big altar call. We always open the altar, and normally it's for if you have a need or if you need salvation, I want you to come. Today I want to ask you to do something on this first Sunday of Thanksgiving, first Sunday of November. A lot of times we tend to use the altar when we just need stuff. I think we're all guilty of that. I am. Why not come today and say, thank you, God, for your providence in my life? Maybe think of something in your life where God worked something out special in your life. You're thinking about it right now. Person you met that got you the job. Person you met that got you the house. Person you met that got you in touch with your boyfriend that soon became your husband. Whatever you're thinking about, why don't you come and say, God, thank you for that. Because you could have just left me out here in the wilderness walking on my own. Why not come thank God for his perception? You say, there's been times I felt like I was all alone. Let me just remind you, God's never taken his eye off of you. Why not come and say, God, thank you for watching me. God, thank you for watching over me. When I didn't even have the sense to watch over myself. When I'd gotten out of mom and daddy's sight and I did foolish stuff. God, thank you. You were watching me. God, thank you. When I did things I should not have done, you were still watching me. Maybe come and thank God for his patience in our life. Thank you, God, for giving me enough time to receive you. I was 16 years old when I really did business with God. I'd been in our church all my life. My daddy was a pastor. My daddy was a missionary. My daddy was a preacher. We went to a Christian school. I'd heard it till I was blah, blah, blah. I was sick of hearing it. I could quote every song and every verse like everybody else could. But at 16, man, God did something in my heart I cannot explain. God did something in my life I cannot explain. And the older I get, and the more things happen in life, I look back and go, why not me? Why didn't God let me die when I wrecked that car at 16? Why didn't God, before I had a chance to meet him, why didn't God allow this in my life? Why did God give me so much time? Why did God give me so much time and not somebody else? I can't explain that, but we ought to come and say, God, thank you for being patient with me. And then to come and say, God, thank you for your presence in my life. You've been my constant friend. When I didn't have a friend in the world, when I've lost someone in my life or something terrible happened in my life, God, you've been with me all along, and I want to say, God, thank you. Maybe you want to come, that last line said they lack nothing. Maybe you want to come and say, God, thank you for your provision. This is Thanksgiving month. And God, I want to say thank you for what they sang. There's a roof up above me, shoes on my feet, food on my table, plenty to eat, whatever it says. Just come and say, God, I've lacked nothing. I want to say thank you. Now let me say this before we open the altar. Miss Laney, you come. Before we open the altar, I want to ask you this. There may be somebody here today, you say, I don't feel God like that. You're talking about God in you and God doing this and God watching over you and God dealing with your heart and God being patient. And I don't feel God like that. You know, it may be that you've just never trusted Christ. He's in there or he's not. Okay? And once he comes, he's there to stay. So it's not like you got him and then he left. If you got him, he's there. But if he's not there, you've never had him. And if you don't know Christ like we've talked about this morning, like Moses really described to us, why don't you come today and say, I want to know Christ in a personal way, just like you discussed. I want to know God in the free pardon of sin. I want to know him in a real way. I'm tired of playing church games. You know what I did? I played church for 16 years. And then I finally got it right. It's been the best decision I ever made. Why don't you just come and say, I'm tired of playing church. I'm tired of going through life without Christ. You know, he wants to give you all these things. He wants to give you the best in your life. Hollywood and movies and television, they try to make God out to be the bad guy. God's against you. He wants to take all the fun out of your life. Can I tell you, you'll have more life when you have God. The Bible says the thief cometh to steal and kill, but he's come that you might have life, have it more abundant. You want the best life? Trust Christ. Trust Christ today. Lord, we pray that you'd take what's been said. I pray that you'd help us to be grateful today. Help us to be thankful for what you've done. I pray if there's one here today that doesn't know you the way we've described today. Moses felt him way on back there. Some probably 6,000 years ago, Moses felt him. God, those disciples They were able to be with you, but they felt something when they were with you. But God, none have been able to say what the modern day believer is able to say. Emmanuel, God with us, God in us. God, we thank you that you now live in us. And God, we just love you so much. Thank you for what you've done in our life. I pray that you'd receive our thanksgiving today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.